Hi, this is Dr. Shanitra Cuthbertson, and this is the Emmaus One Podcast. This podcast aims to strengthen your faith and edify your soul. Walk with us as we walk with the One on the Emmaus Road. Enjoy this week's message.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Tell him yes this morning. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Give it from your belly. Yes, Lord. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Bless your name, Jesus. God, we bless you this morning. Have your way. Have your way. Let your word fall on good ground. What is a yes without good ground? What is a yes without good ground? Father, let this yes and your word be in good ground, that it bring forth fruit to thy glory. We bless you today. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. God, we bless you. Thank you, Kelly. We bless you this morning. When we left off last week was Resurrection Sunday. And when we left, you know, I heard back from some of y'all, and y'all was like, that's a good word. That was a good word. But when I left, I felt like I wasn't done. And so I was like, I felt like it was good, and I felt like I said what I was supposed to say for Sunday, but I didn't feel done. I didn't feel like it was complete. And then I knew that we must open it back up this week. The Lord has some more to say. I'm going to give a recap for those of you online and those of you that maybe didn't hear it last week. Last week, we talked about knowing him, and we did that through the resurrection. But our focal point for last week, one of them was Mary Magdalene. And we stayed on the scripture where when Jesus reveals himself to her, he calls her name. She didn't know who he was before, but he calls her name, and hearing his voice causes her to see. And she sees him, and she says, Rabboni. And when she said that, it said she attempted to grab him. And Jesus said, don't cling to me, but go tell my brethren that I ascend to my God and to your God. And that's what he told him. But we focus on the part. We said, why did Jesus say, don't cling to me? And one of the things we settled on was that Mary was attempting to cling to Jesus in a reality that she knew. Mary was overjoyed that she saw her Lord again, but she probably thought they were going back to what they had been doing the last 3.5 years. That was not the case. It was altogether different now. One of the things we landed on is that she was holding him in the physical, but he was letting her know the reality has changed. We are not going back to what it has been these last 3.5 years. This is a resurrected body. I have one, and you're going to have one. And so you cannot cling to me in the way that you've always known, but you're going to have to cling to me in the spirit, is what we landed on last week. If you could turn it down. Is what we landed on last week. So we're going to jump back in this week, but we're going to flash back just a second. I just want you to keep that in your mind, knowing him. I want to flash back to John 14. And in John 14, Jesus is with his disciples, and he is at the what we call the Last Supper, and he is telling them something that is going to be pertinent for after the resurrection, which is why we're going back to it. And I think it's a couple things. I don't have a lot to say this morning to complete it and wrap it up, but there's a few things I do want you to take home. We're going to start at John 14, the first verse. It's very familiar. You probably hear it at funerals all the time. John 14, Jesus with his disciples. He's in the upper room with them. This is when he is instituting the Last Supper. This is when he is washing their feet. This is when that Jesus is saying more. If you look in the scripture, if your Bible has red letters, there are more red letters in this part than many other places. It's a long discourse by Jesus. And so Jesus is with them, and he can sense the tension. He knows it's his hour, and they have tension. He keeps talking about going and suffering and all this other stuff. So he tells them in verse 1, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He's calling his disciples, this 12 that has been with him for 3.5 years, and he is saying to them, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me." He says to them, "In my Father's house, there are many mansions." Now, if you read, there's a little argument over that. The Greek says there are many rooms. There are many dwelling places. This is King James. And so what happens is in translation, they did an interpretation. And so they figured if it's the Lord's house, surely it ain't a room. It must be a mansion. And so we're so used to hearing it says, "And there are many mansions." But really, it's many rooms, and not just rooms. If you go a little bit deeper, there's many dwellings, which means I have a place for you to dwell. Not just a mansion. This is not, God would not, we're not worried about mansions at this point. Jesus says, "If it were not so, I would have told you." He's telling them in this Last Supper, "I go to prepare a place for you. Don't let your heart be troubled. There's dwelling for you in my Father's house. I'm going to prepare a place for you." This morning, the songs that we sung, they all, even CeCe's song, all of them had the word name, name, name. You know my name, your great name, because there's something about when you know his name and you know that he knows your name. When you get all that together, Jesus telling them, rest your heart, because I got a dwelling place for you that I'm going to prepare. And I'm going to prepare it. My first mode of preparation is going to be a cross. That's how I'm preparing a dwelling for you. You're going to be able to come through these doors through my blood, because I came through a cross, so that when you come through these doors, remember we cried this morning, holy, holy, holy. Do you know how you're going to walk through the doors as holy, holy, holy? Is through the blood of Jesus. So he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm preparing a place for you so that when I come back and receive you to myself." Listen to all this. When we're doing English and teaching it, these are possessives. These are things. Jesus said, "I'm coming back to you to bring you back to me, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus, they are troubled at this moment, and they are in a tense moment. So I can understand the humanity of the disciples. But what Jesus is saying to them is why this needs to be referenced after the resurrection. He's saying, "Where I'm going, you're going to. You're going where I'm going, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know." This is why we're going to wrap up last week. Last week we talked about knowing him. This week we're going to talk about knowing him, part 2. Verse 4, Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you know, and the way I'm going, you know." Thomas, in verse 5, Thomas is always the one that, you know, he going to clarify for us. If it don't make no sense, Thomas is going to bring through. This wasn't as bold as Peter is. This wasn't Peter. This wasn't John. This wasn't none of them. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to them, "Where I go, you know, and the way, you know." And Thomas says, "We don't know, and how can we know?" That is literally going to be, I'm going to read more scripture, but what I need you to take home, because not only is Thomas making some sense seemingly at this time, Thomas is expressing the heart of an experience that I know and that you know. that sometimes God has said something. Sometimes God has indicated something. And sometimes you don't even have it understood completely, but you can feel something. And you realize, you say, Lord, but when you look at it and you look for direction, you're looking for what is the next step? You're looking for where do I place my feet next? You're saying the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You're saying it's not in man to know the way that he should go. And if you know all those scriptures, you're saying, okay, Lord, then you have my direction. But now you're telling me the way I go and you know where I'm going. And I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know if any of y'all have ever been in a place in your relationship with God where in your heart of hearts, in your honesty, you literally say in your heart, I don't know. I don't know where you're going. And I don't know where it's at. And I surely don't know how we can get there. That's a real place. Lord, I don't know where. And I don't know how. So how can we, he's speaking for the group, how can we know the way? How can we know the way? And Jesus says something that is just one of the most powerful scriptures, period. Verse 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When he says, I am the way, it is literally what you think. It is a path. It is a way that is taken. It is a road. It is all those things. He said, I am the way. The early Christians, they were called those who were of the way. Jesus said, I'm it. I'm the road. I'm it. It's me. And he says, I'm the truth. He says, I am reality. I'm reality. Not what you think you see. I'm reality. He has the keys after his resurrection to death, hell, and the grave. He says, I am the reality. The principalities, powers, and all the demonic forces and all the stuff you've seen, and I know you see sin, and I know you see brokenness, and I know you know it's real, and it hurts us and all these things, but I'm telling you, I'm the truth. I'm the reality. There is no power that is greater than what I have. The reality coming from me, this truth that is coming from me as he walks toward this cross, is that your sin and your strongholds don't have the power to keep you because I'm the truth. If you come this way, this way of truth, your reality is me. And my reality is I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm coming back for you. To receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. So he's not just the way. He's not just the truth. He's also the life. The reality and the truth is Jesus has handled sin. That's a truth. But the life is usually where we falter. He told them, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's now. But he has also handled life for then. He says, I am the life. I am the life. It is me. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That's a side note. We live in a world where there is very much a lot of syncretism. There's a lot of pluralistic things going on. Truth of the matter, say what you want, like it or don't like it. The only way to God is Jesus Christ. The only way through is through the blood. So when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, there is no other way, truth, or life, period. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says in verse 7, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And before we get into Philip, I just want to stay with with Thomas for a while. Jesus is saying, you know the way. You want to know the exact things. You want to know, am I going to take over Rome the way you would like me to? You want to know if I fit your expectations in the way that you want me to do it. You want to know if I'm a, if my thoughts going to be your thoughts and my ways going to be your ways. That's what you want to know. You need to know me. So when he says, I don't know, Jesus corrects him. Yeah, you do know. Because you know me. You want to know the circumstances and all the details. I'm telling you, all you need to know is me. When he's telling them, don't let your heart be troubled, he's saying you can bank it on me. It's not your circumstance. It's not that you have all the details. It's not that God won't guide you. It's not that God is leaving you in the fog. It's that you need to know me. Because when you know me, it don't matter where you go if I'm with you. You need to know me. There is a Timothy Keller, and I love Timothy Keller, and him and some other scholars, and I blend them all in. They were discussing, and they were saying the thing about it, when Jesus says, you know the way, is we have a knowing in us that is from God. Now, there is a knowing where he's saying you need to know him, but there is a basic knowing in us. The Bible says he's put eternity in our hearts. There is a knowing that is from him. I heard somebody say, and I hope I can get it correctly, there's a knowing in us, and it's kind of like you know the tune to a song. You know it. It's all in your heart, but you've never actually heard it. You've never heard it with your ears. You got a tune on the inside of you that you've never heard. I'll say it like this to make it make more sense, and we've said this before. When somebody is on their way out, they usually say something like, I'm ready to go home. I'm ready to go home. What home are they talking about? What home did they see? What do we mean? Why does everybody say that? Why does everybody say, I want to go home? You know what they want? They want to go home. There is a home, and there is a knowing that we have in here that is from God, and it is God. We were made for him. We were made to glorify him. In the Garden of Eden, even though we've never experienced it, we were born in iniquity, shaped. We know all the sin. But there's something in us that longs for the existence of Eden. We long for the existence of the ability to walk with God in the cool of the day. We long for the fullness of his presence. And what we do in this life is that we try to use stuff to fulfill it. So we say, when I get the house, when I buy the house, I'm telling you, when I buy this dream house, Lord, when you make a way for this dream house, oh, you made it, you made it. And we're going to shout at the house and we're going to praise at the house. And then them house bills and plumbing, electricity and all that. We're going to be like, Lord Jesus. And it's anticlimactic sometimes because we thought that all that I desired and the fulfillment I wanted out of this dream was going to come to me. Some people have kids. Don't y'all look straightforward if you got kids. And there are some people. And they wait, and they take a long time. And then they get the child, and sometimes you'll look at them and be like, now, weren't you crying over this one? Like, didn't you ask God and pray for this one? You looking like you don't want to be bothered. You ask God for this child. Because in a way, it's not that you don't love your children, but when you're trying to pin something to fulfill you, it's going to be anticlimactic. That means it's not going, you're going to get it and be like, oh, I thought it was going to be a little more. The reason you do that is because there's a knowing and a longing in you that although there are things in this life that will bring us joy, there are things in this life that's going to make it feel more abundant, but there is a longing and a knowing in you that only God can fulfill. And it is a desire for him. It is a desire for home. It is a desire to be in that place and know him. It is a desire for an Eden-like existence. Now, it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, so I'm not saying go exactly back to Eden. I'm saying the way that existence was, it was with God completely. There was no shame, no nakedness, no sin. And we know that in our hearts, and we want to get back to that. We just try to pin it through stuff. We put it in substances. We put it in people. But we know. So when Jesus tells him, you know, there is. You know me, and there's a knowing on the inside of you. Now, in this conversation, the next one to speak up is Philip. You don't hear a lot from Philip, but Philip also is one of clarity and all these things. And Philip says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. Because Jesus had just said, if you had known me, you would have also known the Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip says to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Show us more. Now, they have seen him walk on water. They have seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. They have seen him feed 5,000. They have seen all these things. And they ask him for something else to be their sufficiency. The Bible later on, Paul going to tell us our sufficiency is from God. And they're asking, show me something else, Jesus, so and then it's going to be good enough for me to believe you. And for those of you that are listening online, I wonder, is there something where you're saying, Jesus, show me this one thing, and then it's going to be good enough for me to believe you. Jesus' response to Philip says, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me. You have walked with me. You've seen me. Philip calls him by his name. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Philip, you have been with me so long, and yet you have not known me. You've been around me. You've seen me working. Because if you had known me, you would have known that if you see me, you see the Father. Do you not believe, next verse, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. And what Jesus is doing in this conversation is he is grounding them, because he's about to tell them something about their self in a second. He is grounding them. He is wanting them to fully understand that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, because in just a little bit, he's going to reveal to him what that means for us. I don't speak of my own authority. The Father dwells in me. And after we move forward, after this time, you're not going to speak on your own authority. And I'm going to dwell in you. Believe in me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And Jesus goes on to say, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to read through and come back. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I'm going to do it. And y'all know we have heard that a many times. We've heard it abused a many times. It's not that you ask God for anything. If y'all remember what James said, you have not because you ask not. But when you do ask, you ask amiss. You asking for things according to your motives and your desires and your expectations. It has nothing to do with the will of God. And so if you're going to ask something in Jesus' name, it has to be aligned with who Jesus is. So if you ask and you need to know him, if you're asking for stuff and you don't know the Lord, I guarantee you probably got some unanswered prayers. Because if you know him and you're asking, he'll reveal what he desires to reveal in the time that he desires to reveal it. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's funny. That's followed by ask anything in my name. You got to pay attention to how Jesus pairs stuff together. Ask anything in my name. That sounds like a free, you know, get out of jail, free card in Monopoly. That is what you want. But the next thing he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep what I said. If you love me, stay in alignment. If you love me, hold to the standard that I've given you. If you love me, stay aligned and know who I am. And then what you ask is going to be in alignment. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. So he told Mary, back to where we started, he said, don't cling to me. Don't cling to me. There's another reality that you're going to grab hold to, that you're going to learn how to cling to me in the spirit, not just physically. When you cling to me in the spirit, I'm sending another helper. That word another right here in the Greek, it means another of the same kind. It means another of the same kind. The spirit, he, not it, he is coming that he may abide with you forever. And he is the spirit of truth. Remember, I told you I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm sending the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, and he's going to dwell with you. And listen to this. The world can't receive him because they don't see him and they don't know him. I don't know how many times we've seen the word know this morning and last week. They don't see him and they don't know him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. Again, he's telling them that I'm sending help. I'm changing the way things have been. You're going to know me in the spirit. I'm not just here in the physical, but it's going to be with you and dwell in you. So when he tells Thomas, the way you know the way. It's me. It's me. It is all me. And if you keep my commandments, it is going to be good for you. Sean, if you could do me a favor and go to 14, 20. I didn't have that. 14 is in there as a whole. You just got to find 20. There you go. Thank you. At that day, you will know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. So when he told those disciples, he said, if you had known the Father, you would know. If you had known me, you would know that you had seen the Father, because I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. Verse 20, he extends that to us. At that day, you will know that I'm in the Father and you are in me and I am in you. He who has my commandments, verse 21, and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him and reveal myself to him. We'll stop right there, Sean. Thomas said, we don't know. How can we know? Jesus said, you do know. It's me. It is me. It is me. The things you think that are going to satiate and your biggest dream when it come true, that it's just going to give you everything that you always wanted, it's not. I can tell you now, you're going to have joy, but it's not. The thing you want is so much deeper, and it is so much greater. When Jesus told them, he said, greater works than these will you do? He's not saying, and a lot of scholars would agree with this, that we are going to do greater works than he did in the sense of the quality of the work. I don't know how much greater you can get than raising people from the dead, unless you're going to raise 10 from the dead. And therefore, the quantity would increase, but the quality would be the same. When Jesus said greater works that we are going to do, I want us to situate this into knowing him. If the Holy Spirit is in me, and the Holy Spirit is in you, and he's bringing back everything to our remembrance that the Lord has taken. And he said, when he told them to wait for the Holy Spirit, he said, you're going to be endowed with power from on high. So if the Holy Spirit is in me, and the Holy Spirit is in you, and you've been endowed with power from on high, and I've been endowed with power from on high, and we come in this place together and cry, holy, something's going to happen. So Jesus got 3.5 years. That's all he got, 3.5 years to do ministry, 30 years in the earth before that. So he's saying, you're going to get longer than that. 70 if you get long and 80 if you're strong is what the Bible says. So if you get 80 years in this earth with the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, can you imagine the works of God that can come out of your life? So greater works, not in quality. In quantity. They walk with Jesus physically. Now he's walking in us 24 hours a day. Greater works. Jesus stayed in the Jerusalem area, Galilee, Judea. That's where he worked. That's where he was. It is the greater works that's going to take it to the world. Thomas, they said, take it to India. Paul is going to take it to Asia Minor and all around. It is the greater works are not just wanting to see miracles in greater quality. Sometimes that has confounded us because we figure out what more can we do than Jesus. It's not what more you can do to him than him in quality. But God, if you let this Holy Spirit, if you knew him, if you knew what he meant when he said, don't let your heart be troubled. The reason he telling them, don't let your heart be troubled, because I'm here. And I'm going to do something for you. It's for you. It's for us. It's for the church. It's for the bride. I'm going to do this for you. And I'm coming back to you. So because I have said these things to you, you be at peace. My peace I give, he says later on in the chapter. Not as the world gives do I give, but my peace do I give. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life, and you can bank on me. You can bank on me. So no, the circumstances might not be what you want. The health reports might not be what you want. The bank account might not be what you want. But you can bank on him. That this is not it. This is not all. And even with the promise of eternal life, there's still power for this one. There's a promise of eternal life, and there's power for this one. But the power is in your knowing Jesus, not your knowing details. The power is in your knowing Jesus. Say it again for myself. Not you knowing details. We get flustered when we don't get the details. We get flustered when we feel like, like Thomas said, I don't know where you're going, and I surely can't know how you're getting there. When we don't have that, we get flustered. Jesus saying, chill. That's my translation. Chill. I got you. I know where you're going. And before you fall off a cliff, I got you. Be still and know that I'm God. I'm in you. You and me. I'm in him. This is all together. We all in this together. So know me, not details. Trust me, not that you got every answer. Trust my power, not your inability. Don't ask for things that will settle your mind because you say, Lord, if you just show me this one thing, it'd be sufficient. If you just show me at least where I'm going to be in 5 years, if you let me know I'm going to be a millionaire in 5 years, I don't know. Saying stuff. If you let me know I'll be a millionaire in 5 years, I won't worry about being broke today. No, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. You be at peace today with a little bit. I've learned to be content in whatsoever state that I'm in, whether I'm a basin and a bounder. You know why Paul could do that? Because he knew who Jesus was. He knew him. He knew him. Even though he met him after, he knew him. And he rested in that. So let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwellings. If it was not so, I wouldn't have lied to you. I wouldn't have told you. I have a place for you, now and forever. So rest. See your trouble. See your fire. See your confusion. I see your frustration. I know, but I need you to know. Me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Lord God, we bless you this morning. We need to know you. We thank you for the disciples and their witness in the text. We thank you that in your word there was nothing hidden. Disciples ask questions that we have too. Thank you for your patience with them. You ask Philip, have you been with me this long and not known me? Father, sometimes there are times where we know the works of your hand. We watched you come through. We watched you pay rent. We watched you pay mortgages and car payments, and God, we watch you when things were taken, restore them back to us. But beyond that, have you been with us this long? And we have not known you in your power. Our prayer this morning is that we learn to be settled enough in spirit to not let our hearts be troubled. To let your peace rest, rule, and abide. Your word tells us it surpasses understanding. Your peace is past what we can think. And you've been known to move above what we could ask or think as well. So we trust you this morning. You said that those who love you keep your commandments. You would manifest yourself to them. You've already declared that. We want to receive that, Jesus. Your presence. Your presence. We rest this morning on who you are. On who you are. On who you are, Jesus. And the song said that you're holy. You're holy. You're holy. And because you're holy, one day we're going to cry with the angels. Holy, holy, holy. You are amazing, God. You're amazing. You're wonderful. And we love you today. Let us not leave this place. Your word has taught us what ground looks like. And let the cares of this world snatch it up immediately. Let us not leave this place and allow it to be choked out, God. Let us rest. 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 God knew who would be here today. God knows who's listening online right now. You know where you at? He knows what's in your mind. He knows what's pressing you. He knows the things that you won't say. And he knows the things that you can't even utter. There are things that you can't even utter. You don't have the words yet. Your Father knows them. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm here. The power is here. You call me your own. The song said, you own the world, and yet you still own me. God, we thank you. Bless you. Take this peace home. I'm for real. Take it home. Don't leave here and let the enemy snatch this from you. Take it home. I got you. I got you. The directions, the details, the health, I got you. It is he that made us and not we ourselves, and we can rest in that. Bless your name, Jesus. Have your way in this day. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I have a few announcements. No, actually, we're going to take up our offering. I'm a little...
Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe and share. We would like to take this moment to thank our mission partners for your continued support of the Emmaus Ministries. If you would like to become a partner of Emmaus Ministries, visit us at www.emmausone.org. God bless, and we'll see you next week on the Emmaus Road.